the Bristol K-Ball podcast.
My name's Alon. I'm one of the co-founders of the Bristol K-Ball, and I work on a whole number of different areas within the co-op, from content side of things to events and membership, essentially working with coordinators from all different parts of the project to make it happen. We're not ones to go for predictable kind of straight up reports, but we're more interested in doing more of the investigations on issues that really affect our lives and many people's lives in the city. So the article that I've been working on, it's been a collaborative effort with another author called Alex Turner. We've been investigating the state of emergency accommodation provision in the city. A few months ago, we received a letter from an unnamed source that showed that Connolly and Callaghan, the biggest providers of emergency accommodation provision for families in the city, had bought up a block of flats in Knowle West that had still tenants living in that block of flats. And they had issued all of them what are called Section 21 notices, essentially the first stage of what could become a forced eviction, informing all of the tenants that they had to leave the property within 2 months because they wanted to essentially fill the accommodation, turn it into emergency accommodation, which is charged at much higher rents, paid for by housing benefits by local authorities. So essentially what you had were tenants, settled private tenants, being forced out of their homes in order for an emergency accommodation provider to house homeless families at much higher rates. We published that. Lots more testimonies started coming to the K-Ball about the state of emergency accommodation. So our job as journalists at the K-Ball was to try and go through all of this information that was being sent to us, try and verify what was correct as best as possible, and then put the questions to Connolly and Callaghan and to Bristol City Council as to why there were so many allegations of substandard support. One of the most challenging aspects of this particular investigation was the volume of complaints and the volume of people coming forward to submit information and to try and understand what we could use and what we couldn't. Because of that as well, we decided to break down the story into several parts. We've published, I think, about 4 stories now on Connolly and Callaghan. And if we'd published it in one, then I think, you know, a lot of the information would have been lost. We would have had to cut away a lot of the evidence and a lot of the information that came our way. So it was really about trying to understand how we could best tell it. In this upcoming feature in the Bristol K-Ball, there is a much more kind of broader analysis and investigation about all of the different components of the story. This isn't a story about malicious intent, but it is a story that involves numerous allegations from multiple properties across the city, from homeless people who have claimed that they have been on the receiving end of poor support. Paul Smith, the new cabinet member for Homes and Communities, now saying that they've launched an internal inquiry, they're going to be taking actions to address the conditions within emergency accommodation. Acorn, a community union, have launched a campaign to improve emergency accommodation standards in the city as well. And Connolly and Callaghan have said that they've launched an independent inquiry of their own. So that really shows the power of journalism. I think one of the key things that the K-Ball and other journalism often struggles with is how to tell stories in the most powerful way possible, particularly when it comes down to kind of policy related stuff. You can talk so much about numbers and policy decisions, and it's easy to lose sight of who's affected and how it affects individuals and families and people with identities and faces. And that's, I think, one of the most important elements of telling a story, is bringing the human into the frame. The profitable world of emergency accommodation should, I hope, prompt questions among policy-making circles about how this sector can be regulated more efficiently, and public money, which pays the £300 a week rent, which goes to Connolly and Callaghan for a single bedroom, can be brought down if necessary. Essentially, how public money can be best used, and standards for the cities, some of the cities most vulnerable, can be the highest as possible. So we'll see what the results are, and we'll keep pursuing this story, because there is more information that keeps on coming to us.